shall not fear no man but God. Though I walk through the valley of death, I shed so many tears.
I should die before I wake.
Please, God, walk with me. Back in elementary, I thrived on misery. Left me alone, I grew up amongst a dying breed. Inside my mind, couldn't find a place to rest until I got that thug like tatted on my chest.
101.7 in truth. Happy Thursday, Milwaukee. You are officially tapped in with your girl, Jazz Tyler. Thank you all for deciding to spend your evening with me. Yesterday was an amazing conversation, an amazing day. Huge shout out to all of our listeners. Do not forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on social media at 101.7 The Truth. Tap in MKE as well as my personal IG. Hit me up, The Jazzy Effect. That's JazzyEffect. Today is going to be a very, very heartfelt conversation. Typically, we'll, you know, start with the latest news and all of those things. But I wanted to tap into something that is near and dear to my heart, that is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts around the world. Coming up at the 5 o'clock hour, we are going to be speaking with Sheena Scarborough. Sheena is the mother of Sade Robinson. I had the honor of meeting Sheena a few years ago. Built a sisterhood with her, you know, watch her go through everything she has went through with this entire case and continue to go through, and just attempting to be an advocate. And there's a lot, to be said. There's a lot to be said about what happened to Sade. There's a lot to be said about, what she's currently still going through as far as the legal battles. And, most recently, someone broke into Sade's storage and cleaned out the entire storage space of what was left of all of Sade's belongings. These are things that her family could never, you know, get back. So we're going to talk about that today. Before we do, I want to dive into a trial that's set to start August 10th. For those who are, I'll say 30, 35 and up, maybe 38 and up. You all remember the day when the news announced that Tupac Shakur was shot in Las Vegas on Flamingo. And 6 days later, he was pronounced deceased. Well, 30 years later, his murder trial is set to start August 10th. And they have released the list of witnesses. Let's roll the clip, Z.
A new witness list is out ahead of the murder trial for Dwayne Keefe D. Davis, the man accused in the 1996 killing of rapper Tupac Shakur here in Las Vegas. Davis is charged with orchestrating the drive-by shooting that happened near Flamingo and Koval. Shakur died 6 days later. The trial is expected to start in 1 week on August 10th. Among those listed as expected witnesses, Marion Shug Knight, who was in the car with Shakur that night and is the only other surviving witness to the shooting, as well as Shakur's sister and former Las Vegas Mayor Oscar Goodman. Davis was arrested in Henderson in September of 2023, and he is the only person ever taken into custody in the case.
So, again, I don't know where you was over 30 years ago. Well, 30 years ago, actually, when you heard that Tupac Shakur was shot and then 6 days later died. But I remember it. And I was a child. We had to come inside the house and in the kitchen and sit at the kitchen table and watch the news live. And again, 30 years later, to see that we are now just scratching the surface of this case is not only insane, but it is long overdue. So according to KLAS 8 News, the jury trial for the man accused of orchestrating the murder of Tupac Shakur is scheduled to begin on August 10th. In September of 2023, a Clark County grand jury indicted Dwayne Keefe D. Davis, who is 62, on a murder charge for the Rap Icon's 1996 shooting. He remains in custody with on a $750,000 bond since his arrest. He's also serving serving time in prison for a fight that he had inside of jail in 2024. In his 2019 book and in online interviews, Davis has publicly said he was sitting in the front passenger seat of the car, which pulled up side by side with Shakur before the shooting near the Las Vegas Strip. Suge Knight, then the head of Death Row Records, was driving the car with Shakur sitting in the passenger seat. Knight was injured in the shooting. Tupac died from his injuries several days later. And now, 30 years later, here we are. As you all may or may not know, I am a board member of the Tupac Amaru Shakur Foundation. His family is like family to me. They are family, not like family. His sister, Setua Shakur, we have done many events here in the city of Milwaukee surrounding mental health and wellness. And we've also visited the youth inside of the juvenile justice facility. And this is something that, again, is very sensitive when you know the family of the victim. And this isn't, you know, the first situation that I've been in like this. I've worked with many families in the city of Milwaukee who has lost loved ones to gun violence or any form of violence for that matter. And one of the things that frustrates me the most is the rhetoric online, the conversations that people tend to have back and forth as if they are not talking about someone's life, as if they are not talking about someone who has family, who is still alive. There are many different things with this case that, you know, is going to be exposed. And the reason why I say that is because when you think about the name Tupac Shakur, you think about an icon, you think about a legend, you think about someone who was a part of the movement, you think about a leader, you think about someone who had a backbone, someone who stood up for what it was that he believed in. And it's very tragic that this situation happened. But what's even worse is what happened afterwards. And that's with the estate. You know, there's currently a legal battle for those who do not know. The foundation is currently in a legal battle with the estate to obtain Tupac's estate back. His sister is attempting to get, you know, earn back what she deserves. And that's legacy, right? Not just Pac's legacy, but the entire Shakur family legacy. You know, rest in peace to Tupac, Dr. Matulu Shakur, and Afeni Shakur, right? So now a lot of the Shakurs who are left, there aren't many. There's Setua, there's Mo, you know, there's her, there's Tyrone, and, you know, some cousins. But at the end of the day, we are here 30 years later. 30 years later, trying to figure out what happened to Tupac Shakur and tapping into the industry as far as, you know, the music and what we've seen throughout these years. I think oftentimes we forget that both Tupac and Biggie were the first two rappers. Tupac was the first rapper to actually be murdered on that level. I feel like it was exposed so broadly to the point where they were trying to make a statement by trying to get us programmed to understand what was on the way. Because when you look 30 years later, when you look now, imagine think about how many rappers have died over fake beef or beef. How many rappers have been murdered? How many rappers have been assassinated? And the reason why I use that term is because a lot of times these young men who are under 25 years old, they sign these record deals and they sign the record deals with the label, not knowing that the labels are taking out insurance claims on them. And then when this beef comes and they're pushing them to make and create this type of music, they end up dying. And then the record labels collect the insurance money. That is the name of the game in the industry right now. And a lot of people are not aware of that. And you can go back again 30 years. When you pay attention to this case, it's not just the fact that Tupac was murdered, but it's so much that has happened since his murder, behind his murder, throughout the past 30 years. And the trial is scheduled to start on Monday, August 10th. Suge Knight is supposed to be a witness. My good sis, Tupac's sister, Sechua Shakur, is going to be a witness, as well as the previous mayor of Las Vegas. This is a big deal. This is a big deal, whether or not Keefe D was actually the person who orchestrated or pulled that trigger to kill Tupac. At the end of the day, all it will be exposed. We have been waiting 30 years to obtain answers about the murder of Tupac Shakur, and it is finally here. Don't be surprised if some of your favorite rappers' names are in there, or people that you heard of, people that, you know, you've seen in this industry. At this point, I wouldn't trust anybody, right? Because, again, when you look at the circumstances surrounding the case, it doesn't make sense. A lot of it does not make sense whatsoever. So we are going to make sure that we tap in, you know, to that, to those updates. And, you know, just for the record, because I am a board member, the information that I get, I am not taking information that is private. I am not taking information that is shared with me by the family or anyone else. This is completely separate. This is something that I am choosing to speak on as not only a member of the foundation, but as a student of Tupac and someone who is also a part of the culture. To me, he is one of the last black leaders that we had, and he deserves justice, and his legacy deserves to live on. When we come back, we will dive a little bit more deeper into this case, as well as the 5 o'clock hour. We have Sheena Scarborough coming to join us. She is the mother of Sade Robinson. We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler.
I won't deny it. I'm a straight rider. You don't want to love me. Got the police busting at me.
101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct at the American Family Insurance Studio in the beautiful heart of downtown Milwaukee. Thank you all so much for tapping in with me today. Before we went to break, I had just announced that August 10th will be the start of the trial for the murder and assassination of Tupac Amaru Shakur. This is something that happened 30 years ago. If you are a part of my generation or the generations before me, you know exactly what that feeling was like when you heard about it and, you know, you ran inside your house, turned your radios up, and then 7 days later, they made another statement that Tupac was gone, was deceased. And they just released the witness list. So Suge Knight is supposed to take the stand. My good sister, Tupac's sister, Sechua Shakur, is set to take the stand, as well as the former mayor of Las Vegas. Shout out to the chat. Madi, I did see your comment when you said that the person who actually put the trigger is deceased. They're just looking for someone to put it on. Well, you know, the trial is going to explain all of that. And the reason why I say that is because this isn't just a typical case. Not because he is Tupac Shakur, but because of what he stood for, what he comes from, what he represented, and the brains that he were beginning to change, right? This was more than just a murder. This was an assassination. This was something that had, I'm not saying this as an agreement. I'm saying this in the sense of the way that they operate. You know, to them, it was something that had to be done because he was changing. He was making too much noise. He was changing the minds, the masses of the people. This is one of the last leaders that we had. And people like to sugarcoat it and say, you know, all of the rumors or whatever. Oh, he shouldn't have been doing this and gang this. And he was hanging with bangers and woo, woo. It's much deeper than that. It is far more deeper than that. If you know his history, if you know what he stood for in his background, you know for a fact that is way more complicated than a drive-by shooting. And again, we've been waiting 30 years for some direct answers, not gossip, not rhetoric, not what we assume. But this is one of the biggest cases in history, in the entertainment history ever, right? Not sure who else's name is going to come up. Not sure who else's name is going to be involved inside of the paperwork. But one thing I will say, again, later on, and we're going to talk about this later on with Sade's mom, Sade Robinson's mom, as she joined us at 5 o'clock. Oftentimes, when there are high-profile cases of someone's loved one being murdered, people tend to be very, very cruel. And what I mean by that is not just, obviously, the gossip and the rhetoric, but the comments and the fact that they forget that this person still has family living, right? This person still has relatives who has to mourn and grieve every single day. And not to mention, when you are dealing with someone of that status of a Tupac Shakur, there is the legal battle. So one of the things, for those who are joining us, we are talking about the case and the trial coming up. The murder trial of Tupac Shakur is set to scheduled to be set on August 10th, to start on August 10th, and it's going to go for 6 weeks long. I am a proud board member of the Tupac and Marva Shakur Foundation. I see the work that his family does. I see the work that his sister does. I know her heart. I know the trauma that she's faced growing up, the trauma that she faces now. I know the things that she has to go through mentally every single day, just on the strength of who she is, what her last name is, who her brother is, who her mother is, who her father is, and the legal part of it, right? There is a legal battle between the foundation and the estate because his family does not own the estate. His family was supposed to have the estate. She was supposed to have the estate. And when you're dealing with the industry, you have people, money-hungry culture vultures who will do anything possible to make a dollar off the dead, right? And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because before we went to break, I mentioned when it comes to the entertainment industry and the younger artists, they are not, especially the young black males, they are not paying attention to this game that is being played. These private prisons own these record labels. These record labels then hire these execs. These execs then tell you to make serial killer music. You make serial killer music and then you got beef. You got beef and now you're dead under the age of 25. Your family does not own your royalties, your masters. They don't own anything on top of the fact that the record label has taken an insurance claim out on your life. So once you become another victim, they will get all of that money and your family will get nothing. It is so much that happens behind scenes when it comes to the music industry and artists being murdered. It is not by accident. It is by design. As we continue to watch this case unfold, you know, I ask that you all keep in mind that Pac's family is still living, right? Although it's engaging and everybody want to know what's going on, remember that his family is still living. He was a real person who did real things. And we have to be mindful of what we post on social media when we talk about the gossip. This isn't aimed at you, Madi, because I know I did kind of throw your comment in the mix. This is more so some of the comments that we see on a regular basis when people are, you know, they say stuff like Pac is in Cuba. Pac is still alive. Do you know how hurtful that is for his family to hear that? Do you know how hurtful it is for someone to talk about when you, I see all of these artists, they're all of a sudden getting on interviews, dissing Pac to a certain degree, but never would say nothing when he was alive, right? So again, August 10th is the set date for Tupac Shakur's murder trial, and that will be for 6 weeks. Shout out to the chat. Katz said, rest in peace, Sade Robinson. You will never be forgotten. You live in our hearts forever. Rest in peace, baby girl. Yes, if you are joining us, I was just going over the fact that Monday starts the day that Tupac murder trial will take place. Suge Knight, Sexual Shakur, and the former mayor of Las Vegas are a few names who are scheduled to take the stand. And as we're talking about this, you know, I kind of mentioned some things when it comes to the industry and people profiting off of pain. And I want to tap into that, right? And I know y'all know understand what I'm saying, especially if you have been in Milwaukee your whole life. There has been so many situations where someone passes away or someone ends up being murdered due to gun violence or any other form of violence. And then the community comes together, right? Every tragedy creates some type of network of people and organizations who are responding to, you know, whatever is happening. A lot of people play many roles. You got the reporters, the victims, the advocates, the counselors, the attorneys and investigators and community organizations, even the ambulance chasers. Y'all know exactly what I mean. And at the same time, the public tragedy can also attract unethical behavior, such as rumor spreading, scams, clout chasing, content driven motives, all of the above. And as someone who has stood next to these families, it is very, very sickening. The things that they have to go through just to get justice for their loved ones does not make no sense. Not just we're not just talking about the fact that they have to go through justice in court, that they have to go to court every day. They have to live with the fact that something has happened to their loved one. They will no longer be able to see them. Outside of that, let me pull you in on, if you have not worked closely with the family here who has lost a loved one, let me shed some light on what happens behind the scene. You have the ambulance chasers. You have people who are only looking to help because they want to capitalize off of your pain. They only show up when the cameras are there. They only show up trying to figure out how they can get national recognition for assisting you. They only show up to find out the details of what happened, right? You ever had a loved one pass away and someone reach out and the first thing they say is, girl, what happened? Not, you have my condolences, or I feel, you know, man, that's difficult. How can I be here for you? The first question they ask is, what happened? Right? That should let you know. So, and in this case in particular, and we're going to, again, talk about it a little more when she comes on at 5. But in this case in particular, the amount of people who were rushing to be a part of this and had absolutely no intentions on supporting Sheena or her family was insane. You have the ambulance chasers. You have the people who want to capitalize off of the pain, people who wants to make their name big based off of your tragedy, right? And that's sick to me. That's sick. So these families are in court. They are battling grief. They are going through depression while still trying to make sure the rest of their lives matters, that they can get up and do the day-to-day work that they need to do, all while dealing with a whole other different type of demon behind scenes. When we come back, we're going to talk about the tragedy timeline. Why does support disappear so quickly while grief lasts forever? It's your girl Jazz Tyler. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth.
There's something for my godson Elijah and little girl named Corinne.
One on 1.7 The Truth, you are officially tapped in with your girl Jazz Tyler. If you are just now joining us, before we went to break, I mentioned that August 10th is the start of the legendary Tupac Amaru Shakur trial date. It's set to go for 6 weeks. This is the official murder trial, guys. This is 30 years later. This is something that we all have been waiting to dive into. We know that there's rumors. We know that there's speculation. But these are going to be hardcore facts. And again, even if you have an opinion about whoever it is that's sitting behind those bars right now, at the end of the day, sometimes you need one small piece to the puzzle in order for everything else to fit and make sense. So make sure you know, you pay attention to that. Stay tuned to that. At 5 o'clock, we have Sheena Scarborough. She will be joining us. That is the mother of Sade Robinson. We were just talking about how people tend to capitalize off of the pain, right? Whenever there's a tragic situation that happens, you always have the people who, I call them the ambulance chasers, the ones who want to come just to be in front of the cameras, the ones who want to ask questions to figure out, you know, what happened, or trying to get the gossip. People, they're scammers. There's people who have started GoFundMes and all types of other things, capitalizing and scamming and profited off of the pain of someone else. And one of the things that we often don't talk about is the tragedy timeline. And the reason why I want to bring this up, and I do want to explain that this is a trigger warning if there is anyone out there who is currently grieving or has lost someone. This show today is going to be very, very intense. We will be discussing Sade's case to its entirety. We will also be discussing what the family is currently dealing with afterwards, because this fool then went and appealed, right? He filed an appeal, which is mind-boggling. So, again, it's never-ending. There's when everything goes away, the family still has to grieve. The family still has things that they have to go through. So we're talking about the tragedy timeline. We all know the first day, right? First day is the breaking news. It's the national attention. It's the prayer circles. It's the visuals. And be mindful. I want to be mindful when I speak about this, because I do understand that, you know, things happen and you offer your support to people and you show up how you need to show up, and that your life still has to continue. But we as a community, we have to find a better way of supporting the families of the victims. And if this don't apply, let it fly. The reason why I say that is because I've been out here a long time, and I know who comes around because they're genuine and they genuinely want to help, versus the people that come around who attempt to capitalize off of the pain. This isn't just always community grassroots organizations. Sometimes it's lawyers. Sometimes it's coalitions. Sometimes it's, you know, a long lost family friend. There are many people who began to have access to the family during a time of vulnerability, which is not safe. So the first day, they're going through all of this, right? We're walking through it so that you can begin to understand their minds and how to support them. The first day is always about the breaking news, the national attention, the prayer circles, the visuals. Everybody's just trying to grasp what is going on. I remember when Sade, when this first broke the news, I could not, for the life of me, like, focus that entire day. And every time I looked at her, she reminded me of the young lady in Chicago, Kanika Jenkins. If you guys ever followed that case, Kanika Jenkins in Chicago, she was found in the hotel freezer, right? And they were saying she was set up by her friends and all of this stuff. But when I looked at Sade, I was like, she kind of favored Kanika Jenkins. And it made me feel away. It made me feel away because I couldn't understand for the life of me why this happened. So as you begin to go into the first week, you know, there's media coverage, there's community support, fundraisers, and things of that nature. So when you're dealing with the family who has just lost a loved one, understand first and foremost that they are not in their right minds. They don't know if they're coming or going. One day they may be up, the next day they may be down. Actually, not even a day, hour. It can vary per hour. There is an emotional roller coaster, right? They're trying to cater to everybody around them with whatever is left that they have inside of them. And they are in a very vulnerable space. So if you say something, mean it. If there's a situation that happens and someone loses a loved one and you offer support, mean it, because they need it in that moment. Don't come up playing games. Don't come up having any type of motives. They are really going through something that cannot be explained. And unless you've been through it, you wouldn't understand. So you got the first day, you got the first week, and then a month later, here comes the national headlines, interviews, right? It begins to, like, it's going to pick up as the trial goes on, but this is when certain people start to be weeded out. This is when you can now see the agenda at hand, if there is an agenda. And the reason why I say that is because typically there always is. Whenever we have you see it with Nolan Wells. You see it with the brother that's in Madison, right? Pay attention. Pay attention to everything. Pay attention to the attorneys, the coalitions, the grassroots organizations, the media, the news stations, the exclusive interviews. Pay attention to everything because it matters. It matters, especially when we're talking about seeking justice, because a lot of these people that come into play are all working together. Some people are sent to figure out how much you know, right? Case in point with Sade's case. The bastard that murdered her family apparently owns a lot of State Farm agent insurance companies, like sitting on boatloads of money, and donates to a lot of elected officials, which means that people like that typically pay to play. So when you're looking at the case and you see that, A, how quickly they wrapped the case up evidence-wise, I've never in the history of my life or live as a citizen of Milwaukee seen a house be sold during the middle of an investigation. How is that even possible? How is it possible that the last place she was at was able to be sold in the middle of an investigation? Again, these are all things that's happening. This is what the family is dealing with. This is what the mother deals with. This is what the father deals with. On top of trying to weed out who they can and can't trust. On top of trying to keep her legacy alive. On top of making sure that the other babies and the other children receive the same amount of attention, because they're going through something as well. And here you have all these ambulance chasers, all of these community organizations, all of these lawyers, so on and so on. Now, the flip side of that, and I've said this before too, one of the things we as a people have to stop doing is waiting to become active until it's our babies. And this isn't directed at anyone in particular, right? But there is two sides. If you're going to help the family, help the family. Don't have any motives. But the families also have to start becoming more active and stop waiting until it happened to their child. This is a huge issue that we have in our community when it comes to these situations, right? Now, some things are simply just inevitable. Some things, are going to happen. It's nothing you can do about it. But at least you can, you know, make an effort to try and educate people or try and support people the best way you can. If you are just tuning in, we are talking about, earlier I mentioned that Monday, August 10th is the start of Tupac Shakur's murder trial. And we also have Sheena Scarborough, who will be here at 5 o'clock. She is the mother of Sade Robinson. We are going to pick this case apart piece by piece, because even though we seen him go to jail, we seen that the judge Crivella gave him life without a chance of parole. There are still things happening afterwards. And some of those things are a part of what I've been discussing, the tragedy timeline. What happens with the family the first day, the first week, the first month, the first year? This happened April of 2024, and her family is still fighting in court because he keeps appealing. Her family is still fighting because someone decided to rob the storage of all of Sade's belongings, and now her family doesn't have any more sentimental values, anything that's sentimental value of hers. There is so many things that happens once that date, once the decision is made. That's not the end of it. And if you are someone who is a part of the community, you are someone who wants to support, there's a guideline. People don't talk about this. Everybody just jump out and I'm going to do this because I can. No, there is a guideline, and we have to learn how to properly support these families when they're going through what they're going through. When we come back, we're going to continue to dive into this tragedy timeline. And then at 5 o'clock, we have Sheena Scarborough, who will be joining us. Do not touch that dial, your girl Jazz Tyler. One on 1.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Thank you so much for tapping in with us. Do not forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, 101.7 The Truth, and follow us on social media at Tap In MKE, The Jazzy Effect, THEJAZZIEFFECT. Shout out to the chat. Madi says that no justice for Kanika Jenkins and Robinson that was unalived on that, or the young lady that was on that trip to Mexico. He also said, sell a house with evidence in it. I can't make this up. That's crazy. You know, the European man always winning. Listen, if you are just joining us, we're talking about Sade Robinson, Tupac Shakur, any family who has lost a loved one. The amount of tragedy, the amount of grief, the amount of people coming around to capitalize off of the pain, right? The things that you lose, the things that you go through, there should be some type of protocol set in place when we are helping these families. I've helped many of situations. I've sat in the courtroom every day with Derek Williams' family. Even outside of the courtroom, we was marching in zero below weather, blocking off highways. We was going to the district stations for Corey Stengler and Dontre Hamilton. There is so many cases. And again, when you sit back and you pay attention, you always figure out that somehow, some way, somebody or some organization attempts to come along to benefit off of the pain, to profit off of the pain of the family. And oftentimes we are not familiar with that, what that looks like, because all we know is that we want justice. But can justice ever truly be served, right? You can give someone a life sentence and you can say no parole, but that does not bring their loved one back. It does not. Case in point, Sade Robinson, her murderer was convicted to life in prison, and yet this fool then filed an appeal, which means that he's purposely tormenting this family. Not only did he file an appeal, he refused to tell them where the rest of her body is. This is a trigger warning for those who are listening. I do apologize in advance, but this show today, we will be going into graphic details about this case so that you all can become more familiar with what is still happening with Sade Robinson's case. This case is not over. He refused to tell. They were never able to find her crown. He refused to tell the family where the rest of her body is. Now he's filing appeals, which means that he keeps making them come back to court. And every time they go back to court, they keep reliving the same situation over and over and over and over. And then you have certain people around, right? No one in particular. But what happens in situations like this is there's going to be specific people around who offers fake support, and they are going to keep you living in grief so that they can continue to profit off of your pain. Yes, girl, do that interview. Yes, girl, fight it. I'm going to sit there in the courtroom with you, right? 24/7, because in the back of their mind, they know that they have an agenda. In the back of their mind, they want to, again, I said earlier, you ever had a conversation with someone, you lost a loved one, and the first thing they ask you is what happened? They don't say, Do you need anything or my condolences? They ask you what happened. There are so many people like that out there. I know y'all know somebody in the city of Milwaukee who lost a loved one. And then when, as soon as they pass away, everybody and their mama come out of the woodworks. And wish they should. They're not wrong. They're showing empathy. But it's those few that stay around, right? It's those few that every time a camera comes, they hopping in front of the cameras. And they're taking advantage of these families in such a vulnerable moment. And it's something that we don't often talk about. So we were talking about the tragedy timeline. What happens the day of, a week later, a month later, a year later? And my question to you all is, does compassion expire or does our attention simply move on? There's so many things that happen at such a fast rate when it comes to our people that sometimes it's hard to dish out, and it's hard to cater to each situation emotionally because it's so much. But there are some cases that you just cannot ignore. Tupac case is one of them. Sade Robinson case is another one. Derrick Williams case is another one. Kanika Jenkins case is another one. Nolan Wells case is another one. Jelani McCoy case is another one. There are so many things that happen, but these cases are prominent. These are the cases that stick to you. These are the cases that cause you to lose sleep at night, right? Especially when it happens right here in your own backyard. Shout out to the chat. Cray Cray says, on top of that, Maxwell Anderson was tracked by phone because Sade had an app on her phone, and they have bus footage of him getting on the bus. The killer face is clear as day. And the killer has Sade DNA inside his hoodie, sweatshirt, that was found in the garbage can. Yes. And we're going to talk about that once Sheena joins us here shortly. We're going to dive deep into this case. Another reason being is not only because she needs support after the fact, because they're still fighting. But again, remember, this happened right here in our own backyard. That means that this man was living in this city. Somebody you know that knows somebody that knows somebody lived on the same block, went into that bar he used to work at and seen him before, maybe seen him on a bus. But at the end of the day, he was walking around here where you walk around, where you drive around. This happened in our own backyard. Marie says her car was parked by 30th and Lisbon, northeastern corner. They knocked the building down where he parked her car next to. And the crazy thing about that is, too, man, listen, when I was refreshing myself on this case, the first thought that came to my head is this got to be the world's dumbest criminal. And even the detective said it. You can tell he was panicking because the things that he did just didn't make sense. Right. And he was caught after he set the car on fire. After he set Sade's car on fire, there is footage of a lady saying he did it. They said, who did it? Him right there. Why you do that? She talking to him. Why you do that? And he walking out, going along his merry way. Right. And not to mention, they found photos of Sade in his phone. This is what sealed the case. There was photos of Sade naked in his phone. She was deceased, and he was doing activities with her corpse. And he deleted the pictures, not thinking that the iCloud backed it up and saved it, so the detectives were able to obtain the pictures from his phone. The only thing I disagree with about this case is the fact that they did not charge him with premeditation, because she met him at Victor's 3 days prior, going for a job interview, and then he took her out on a date 3 days later. I don't know if it wasn't enough evidence to say that it was premeditated, but based off the testimony that his ex-girlfriend gave, to me, I would assume so. So Maxwell Anderson's ex-girlfriend came to the detectives and told them that a year prior, when they were together, he mentioned to her that he wanted to take her to his secret place. It's a secret beach. He would not give her the address. He just showed her how to get there. So the detectives tested her. Okay, show me how to get there. And guess where it was? The same beach where Sade Robinson's body was found. And then he told her some other things that didn't make sense to her. So by her confirming that, that lets them know that, A, that silhouette that they see in that video that's dark wee hours of the morning, it's him. And that he already had this place in mind. It was premeditated. He had this in his mind that this is what he was going to do. These are not the actions. Not all of them are the actions of somebody who just made something up off the top of their head. Come on now, Milwaukee. We live here. Especially if you're from the hood, you know a couple killers, a couple shooters, somebody. You know somebody who done did something. When somebody wants to do something, they're going to do it. And you also know when something is a random act. This was not a random act. He lured her on a date. He enticed her to take her on a date. When you look at the footage, he's not even interacting with her as if he's interested in her. He's sitting next to her as if she's just another customer, right? Then they leave. They get in her car. They go back to his place. And the video footage that they obtained from the neighbors across the street shows both of them walking into his house together. But at 2-something in the morning, he's the only one who left. You can see two silhouettes in the window. And then hours later, you only see one. After that, there's footage throughout the entire city of him driving her car around for hours. For hours. He then took her car and her body to the beach. Began to dismember her body. Again, this is a trigger warning. We are talking about the Sade Robinson case. We will be joined by her mother here shortly. He took her to the beach and began to dismember her body at 4-something in the morning. And he thought he was slick, but he didn't know that Adriana, Sade's little sister, had the 360 Life app on her phone. When we come back, we are going to finish discussing the Sade Robinson case. We will be joined by her mother here shortly. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler.